We're kind of transitioning, but not. We're still dealing with covenant, so please keep that in mind, because the covenant teaching that we started last month is still here. But we're getting to another layer of covenant. And I had a conversation with somebody who shall remain nameless for the sake of, I'm protecting their anonymity or whatever that word is. But we were having a conversation, and one of the points of that conversation was dealing with the exchange that we talked about last week. And when we understand that the concept and the idea of covenant, and that everything that Jesus has done and made the way for us and prepared for us is supplied by Him, the exchange that we have immediately on the cross, when we said that it is no longer my life, but it is His life, right? That was the first exchange. We continue to have an exchange when we are provided the opportunity to come to the Father to receive, and that exchange takes place time and time again. And what I want to bring to our attention is something that's clear here that needed to be brought to the attention in that time, was we are talking about spiritual things. Can we understand that? Conceptually, we are talking about spiritual things. Are physical things a part of the spiritual world? They are. Okay? What do I mean? Well, there are things in this world that may have spiritual attachment or spiritual components to them. But what I want us to understand is that I am not talking about a physical exchange system. I am not talking about the exchange when you go to the store and you give money and you get groceries. There's nothing spiritual in that. Okay? That's called provision. God has given you the ability to provide, right? He's given you money. The exchange that we have in currency is a worldly system that we utilize currency exchange to receive goods. Now, can you take a spiritual lesson or principle from that? Yeah, you can, but don't dig too deep. The bananas are still bananas. The apricots are still apricots. The frozen pizzas are still frozen pizzas. It doesn't change anything there. And if you're looking for a spiritual thing in your frozen pizza, you're waiting for the manifestation of Jesus in the mozzarella. Okay? Stop it. That's not going to get you anywhere. You're looking in the wrong places. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Good. Now that we have that framework laid out, let's get in. This message starts with a very important question, and I would like, if you are a journaler, to write this question down. Because this question is going to sing to you today, and it's going to sing to you for a very long time from this day forward. I am holding. Do, 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 do. Why is it always the little girl from Ipanema? I have no idea. Okay. The question. Does a building exist if no one ever builds it? Does a building exist if no one ever builds it? Now, this is a hypothetical question, and I hear yeses and nos. I'm not asking for you to discover this answer today. I'm asking for you to hear what the Lord is saying. Amen? Because this is a silly question. But I do pose it as we have an issue in the body today that this very question typifies. We have a church, do we not? Is a church a building? Yes, it is. It is indeed a building, but we are that building. Hence why we say we are the church. The church is a building. We are that building. We are the parts of that building assembled to be that building, right? Okay. So what I see, though, is that we have a church today that is filled with nothing but talkers and not doers. Is a reality, okay? As the guy up here talking, I have to deal with that myself. Now, and I'm not saying this in the sense that you might think, because there are indeed people that are doing things. And they're doing them for God also. So I don't want to sound like this is poo-pooing a whole group or, you know, singling out people. If you're getting offended by this already, allow the Holy Spirit to continue to bring that conviction. The conviction of God is good. Amen. But I have this reason for bringing this up because the follow-up question to this is, what is being built? See, if you look at a bank, you know it's a bank from the outside. You don't have to go inside to know that it's a bank, correct? Okay? I don't see anybody walking into McDonald's and going, oh, I thought I was in Burger King. Have you done that? You might need to get your eyes checked. There's a really, really big... Okay, no. I said walk into McDonald's. I did not say walk into Burger King and ask for a McWhatever. That happens because people that go to Burger King are a little slow. But that's okay. But you don't walk into McDonald's and go, I'd like a Whopper. Right? You do not walk into a gas station and ask for sushi. You could get it. You probably will die. So, why is this important? This question, okay, leads to another, and possibly the biggest question yet. Who is building it? What I noticed is bad philosophy and doctrine have misled the church for too long, and it's about time we fix this problem once and for all. We have three questions. First question was, does a building exist if no one builds it? What is being built and who is building it? These three questions. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. When you get there, hands up, because I'm going to need visual confirmation today. If you're just going to use a visual behind me, that's okay too. But I like you to look in your own Bible so you get your translations and you have it in your way you understand it best. Amen? Let's use our swords today. Let's not rely on the digital. I can actually have him black it out and make you do it the hard way. And he'll do it too. See? He'll do it too. Put it back up though, please. There are people that need the visual aid. Don't do that. I'll do that mistake myself. You don't need to do that for me. Thank you. But 1 Corinthians 3 verses 9 through 14. And I'm going to point this out because this was how it went for me going through this word study and doing everything that God has asked me to do. This is going to seem, and I'm going to warn you, it's going to seem like this is kind of all over the place. Take my word for it. I felt the same way. Just hear and listen to what the Lord is saying, okay? I will do my best to do my part, but do your best to do your part and have open ears and a heart that's willing to hear. Amen? Okay. So starting at verse 9, continue on to verse 14. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. There you go. Remember, we are the church. The church is indeed a building. We are God's building. Amen? According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. This is going to come back later. Listen to what the Lord is saying. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Who builds? We build. How many people thought God was building? How many people thought Jesus was building? What does the Bible tell you who's building? You already have the answer to the last question. Who is building? We are building. We are building the church? Yes. But aren't you the building? These are good questions to ask. Trust me, I warned you. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. Did I have it all in there? Oh, I went to... I have 14 in here. What did I put in there? 12? Oh, okay, that's probably why. See, I did this while I was still deprived. There's not a 4... Interesting. Well, that's funny. We'll just say, I don't know why that happened, but it's there. It's in my Bible. Okay, then. Well, then, we'll move on. But I read it for you, so you have it in Audible. Let's talk about this scripture in just the briefest of context so we can all be on the same page, because I don't want us to get too far away. We have some laborers, right? Laborers. What is a laborer? One who labors or does work. Amen. Okay. We are a building, according to the scripture, are we not? Okay. And we are also the ones who build. Okay. And what you are building on is called a foundation. And that foundation is? Jesus Christ. This is, I mean, a student. You want the star? I told you this was the easy part, right? Okay. Now, if we understand we have laborers, workers, we are the building, we are building, and that building of which we are building is found on the foundation, whom is Christ himself, that means that the building is predetermined, because the foundation predetermines what the structure of the building is going to be, does it not? Okay. This is very important. How does this then get built? What do you need to build? You need materials, which is listed here, right? And you need people who can use the materials. Ah, you're going to get the skills in a minute. That's interesting. No, you need people. Because I don't know about you, but if you have a plot of land and a foundation, so this is really good for us who live nearby, because there's this nice development that's being built. And you can see those foundations. They're just concrete platforms. And there's a bunch of wood in a big old pile next to it. And if nobody shows up for 3 weeks, there's still going to be a concrete platform and a bunch of wood. So we have a foundation and we have materials. But if we do not have workers, you're still not going to have a building at the end of the day, correct? Okay, so we understand some principles here. And I'm bringing this to light for a reason. This seems very rudimentary. How many people think this is rudimentary? Very good. You should. Okay. But this does require a little bit of a recap. We talked about covenant, right? And the covenant that we are in through Christ has him as our high priest, who is constantly making intercession for us and also supplying every need that is a deficiency in us, so that we can fulfill our purpose in him to God Almighty. Let's go back. We are God's fellow workers. We are his field. We are his building. This is so, so important that we get this and put this all together. Because if we don't get it and put it together, we're going to miss out on something very severe. This would mean that the building that Christ has predetermined us to build would be built with pre-approved materials that are supplied by who? By God Almighty. Why do you think God is going to supply the materials for the foundation that which it's going to be built on? And it will be gold and silver and straw and stone and hay and things that you look at and go, these are really good materials to go and build this with. These are really good building materials. I have these really good building materials. Listen to what I'm saying, church. Listen to what God is saying. I have these really good building materials. I can go build the church with these. These are really good. But what are you building with? Thank you. You are building with your materials. You're not building with the materials that he has supplied. And for the people who are like, training, skills. Well, guess what? Newsflash. He's the one who prepares you for the work. Everything you need to do the work, he is supplying. Turn to Romans. Romans 14, verses 19 through 23. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. Highlight this last part. Whatever is not from faith is sin. You're like, why did you read all that other stuff, Pastor? What does food have to do with buildings? Well, I did say McDonald's and Burger King. But no, that's nothing to do with it. The example of food is being used here in Scripture, but there's a little bit more to the depth and brevity of what is being said here, and it transcends just food. Because food is a necessity, yes? Food is a necessity. It is something that we need to survive. One could even say food is a tool. It is one you have to use properly, but can be also used improperly, can it not be? And if you use this tool improperly, it could lead to consequence. The tool that you use, properly or improperly, has ramifications one way or the other. And so that is exemplified here with the example of food. Here, you're hearing it through Romans that there is a proper way for the food to be used and an improper way to be used. Do you see that? Okay. But I want to clarify what is the proper and improper. What is the improper use of food in this illustration? If you are using the food or you are eating the food absent of what? Absent of faith. That means there is something that we need to really hone in on here because this is going to come home when we get to the next part. If you have access to materials, food, but it comes in a way that is absent of faith, is the material or the food the proper use, regardless of how you use it at this point? No, it is not. Keep that in mind. That is very key. You, sir, are going to have to listen to this all online. So let's go back to that main question. Who is building? We are, right? What is being used to build? Materials that are supplied by God, right? I want you to pay attention because this is where we are going to fumble and miss every chance that comes. We didn't even notice it because how easy is it for you to just announce and say, well, it just comes from God. Seems pretty straightforward, right? Is everybody here okay in agreement? No questions? No comms? No? Okay. Then why is it not happening? If everybody here in unison, raising your hands, goes, oh no, it's easy. God supplies all the materials. We shouldn't have a problem. We're missing a part. You play a part. What part do you play? The building part, right? Okay. So There's then two, there's either one or two problems. So we're going to get a little bit of confessional going. For all you Catholics, this will be reminiscent. You'll have fun with this. For all you non-Catholics, here's how this works. We'll present something to you and you're going to either confess that you do or you don't. And then you move on. Okay? Easy. Two parts. Are the materials indeed supplied by God? Okay. So then the reason it's not being built is because you're not doing the work. Or, possibility number two. Or, you are perfectly able and ready to build. But you are sitting here, and as somebody had already eloquently put it, you are using materials that are not the materials that were supplied. But everybody here just said it's really simple and easy for you to understand and comprehend. Well, the materials are supplied by God. Are we ignorant then? It's not laziness. That's the lie. It is not laziness. Believe me, I wanted it to be. I really did. Because it's really easy for us, as men especially, to repent for laziness. Because that's every day of our existence. Literally every day of our existence. But it's not that. Here's what it actually is. I'm a kind pastor. I don't let you drown for too long. Just remember that. We aren't actually coming and making the exchange. See, the supplied materials actually require something from you. And you're sitting here going, okay, God, you want me to build. I just need the materials. And everybody here can agree that God supplies the materials. The reason you're not building is because you don't have the materials. And so what do? You go and you supplement with other materials because you know that you're supposed to be building. You know you're supposed to be working. You know you're supposed to do it. That's not a question. So this is why I go. I know this is not a problem. Here's the real reason. All the OGs in this house will know this one. What are the three E's, church? Edify, exhort, and encourage, right? Edify, exhort, encourage. Do you know what the word edify means? Yeah. What does the word edify mean, Miss Jess? Just say the simple definition. Just give me the simple definition. The simple definition. Somebody else is going to beat you to it. Anybody? What is it? The build up. No. I didn't want that. I just wanted the build up part. To build up. Did you guys recognize what it said in Romans? Did you see that part? Or did you just miss it completely? Therefore, let us pursue things which make peace and the things by which one may edify each other. Who's each other? The community. The body. The church. You're the building, but you are also the one building up the church. So the way you build the church is by building into each other that which is lack. But you need the materials to build. And if you don't do the exchange, which is the problem, I'm telling you now, you don't know what the exchange is, but you're not getting this part down. You're not doing the exchange, so you don't have the materials to build into the people you need to build into in your community, in your church. You don't have the necessary materials, so what do you grab? You grab the nearest thing you have. You grab the stuff that you got. You grab your things, your belongings, your wood, your gold, your hay, your straw, your metals. And you go, I got you. Here. This is going to help. And you know what? It does for about this long. How many people have been blessed by another in this house? How many people remember what it was? Can you recount them all? Okay. Now, here's the other question you got to ask yourself. Was that a product of God doing it for you through that person, or was that a product of that person doing it of their own volition? With their own materials, because they have a doctrine and a belief that says, this is how I'm supposed to love you. This is how I'm supposed to help you. This is how the church does things. This is what we do as a body, as a community, as the church of God. This is how we are taught to do it. And all the time, God's sitting there going, are you going to use my stuff yet? Go back to the beginning of what I was saying. The results are in the building. Where is the church? If we can all identify, does the building exist? What's it look like? I got a good visual. You don't want to really know what it looks like. Homeless people wouldn't come to it. Looks like a crack house. I'm not calling you guys crackheads. Don't get it twisted. If we can understand some things, the goods that we are supposed to exchange for are that which is used to build up the church that come from God Almighty Himself, so that what is being built fits on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So this is why I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. What's being built is separate churches. That's what's happening. What we are supposed to be is one church. Do you want to know what the church is? Bunch of tiny houses that fit one. That's why you have a digital empire of people who were able to go home and worship God in their houses and don't come to the community of church where what they have can be used to build the church. They don't think they need to. Yes, you do. That's what God said. And what He's giving to you to use it for is not for you, but it is for the edification of the body. It is to build the church. But back to the main point. What's the exchange? Because this is the part that we're not doing. Let me ask you a question. Go back to what we've already discussed. How do you get these goods? You have to go to God and you have to believe that He has provided them, right? Do you know what that cost you, sir? No. You have to believe. The exchange is faith. The exchange is faith. And here is the key. The reason the church isn't being built is because the faith we have to believe in what God provides is only sufficient for us and not for another. And therefore, we don't have materials to go and give to the others. We give them what we have left over. And that isn't sufficient to build anything, let alone a whole church. And this is what happens. We put forth works that are emblematic of what we have faith to believe God supplies, and He actually does supply. But the work we sow into another builds them up to be a fellow worker. And this is the exchange part of the covenant that we have with each other in Christ. This is what's dynamically missing. This is what we do not have. But if we did it right, this is what we would have. And when we do this, that exchange comes through. I believe in faith what God is supplying is not for me, but it is for another. I give my supply to help build up what is in that person. I am building and erecting the church as a whole. It isn't about me. It's about the whole, the entirety, as each one gets their part. Because then what I gain is not a building that is to you and only to you. I gain a fellow worker. Many hands make light the work. The reason you're not working is because you're building your own home. And if the church is what's supposed to be built, then by golly, we better get this right then, right? All right, so turn to Ephesians then. remember I said this is going to be kind of a weird all over the place thing, but just ride with me. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. If you want to believe fivefold, that's fivefold. If you believe it's fourfold, pastors and teachers are the same thing. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, there it is again, of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I am not making this up. It is in the Word. The work of the ministry for the edifying of the body. The workers are to do the work of edification. The workers are building up the church. Do you see it there in Ephesians? Okay. Let's go back to that very first question. Does a building exist if no one ever builds it? Where are the workers? Where are the workers? For that matter, again, what materials are being brought to build with? And I go back to the very next, more even important fundamental question. If we are building with something and it is not from faith, what are you building with? Thank you. Go back and read the scripture. If it is not from faith, it is what? It is sin. So think about this. If I am bringing materials and building into the church something that is not of faith, I am building into the church something that is what? Come on. How is the church going to get built? What building is going to exist if it is just in sin? How is it coming to fruition? This lack of integrity in what we are building, who is building and how it is built, has led to a church that is in name only. People have identified or principled themselves as being a church or part of a church, or I go to church, and that doesn't even mean anything anymore. The church is literally these four walls and this house. This is the church. The people don't exist. There are countless churches in this country today that don't even have people in them. COVID did a really good job of exposing the church for what it truly was. It's been for a long time. It just got exposed during COVID. I'm actually kind of grateful for the chaotic, dictatorish things that happened during that experience, because it actually exposed the fraudulence of the church. It exposed the fraud. It exposed the church in name only people, the people who literally go, I go to church. Not if you might have a disease. Oh, so I guess I probably shouldn't send you to Zimbabwe on a missions field where that's all that you'll deal with. Malaria and all kinds of other, even worse diseases than the fictional one called COVID. The sniffles. Mask up. I'm ashamed of myself for the time of that little bit of an experiment that it was. Now, mind you, for me, the only time of that experimentation was when it was still not known. There was a lot of no knowledge, no information. We didn't know nothing. The second I knew the information, all bets off. The church was open. Way before. Because you guys wanted to be here together. That's the true church. Because the necessity of what we needed during that time especially was not isolation, but was community. What we needed was to come together to build each other up and provide the needs of the things that you all needed because of the deficiencies that the government wanted to put upon you. I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm sorry. But I'm just speaking truth. Amen? Can you understand that? All right? So the reality is, we had an opportunity, and how many churches did what we did? Not enough. Not enough. Why is it a real, why is this a reality? Why did this happen? Because we've been exchanging with the world apart from faith to acquire what we believe is needed for ourselves, not what is needed for the edification of the body. And then we give an excess to our brothers and sisters, I already said this, the leftovers, right? And we think that that's being obedient because I'm pouring out, I'm helping, I'm giving, I'm doing things for them. That's great. But if it's absent of faith, again, what materials are being used? It's apart from faith, it is sin. Right? So, what does that build up? What I'm trying to point out is, believe it or not, you're always building something. But if it's without faith, it is not going to be what is necessary for the edification of the body. You aren't building a church. You're building a dwelling, an indwelling of sin. You're building a personal luxury abode for you and your sin to continue. James 2, and I'm taking this home, trust me. James 2, 18 through 24. We all know this anyway. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not only by faith. This is what I mean by the exchange. See, here's the problem. We want to build, we want to do the work, but we don't have the faith to believe that what is needed and necessary to supply the needs for what needs to be built is going to come. We don't want to do it the way God has intended. And so if you do not, and this is why this part in James is so important, because what is happening with the church is that we do this. I'm going to outline it. It's as clear as day to me. Maybe it's not as clear as to you. But we believe God wants us to work. We believe we are fellow workers. We believe we're laborers in the camp. We want to come and we want to build and we want to build up and edify. And we want to do the work that God has called us to do. We're on board. How many people are on board? Okay, fantastic. Ready? If you don't have faith first, guess what you start building with? You start building with what you got. What's left over, what you have around, all those things, are they from the supplier who supplies? No, they're not. So the very first thing you build on the, what you suppose to be the foundation of Jesus Christ is of sin, right? Can you build sin on the foundation of Jesus Christ? You cannot. So you're just building it somewhere on a sandy beach. What happens when you build on sand? Anybody know? Storm comes and just, tornado comes and knocks it down, right? It didn't have a chance even before the tornado. Don't worry, okay? Didn't even need a... You could have went... tick, and it would all come down. Okay? But I want you to go ahead and take a look, because here's the funny part. Everybody who does this, though, thinks that they're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They think they're pouring in and building the church, when they're not. So guess what happens then? They start seeing those... Remember I told you, you start to see those little bits? You start to see those little times where it's like, oh, this is good. Things are going really well. How long does that last? About that long, right? Because the second you turn around, the building's on the ground, it's all in shambles, and you're looking around going, what the heck happened? I've been doing good. I've been praying. I'm building up other people. I'm helping. I'm serving in the church. I'm doing these things for God. I'm doing these things for you, Lord. And so, when the little bit of time that's good, we go, I have faith in that period of time that it was going good. And so then we say, oh, cool, I get the materials. And guess where you take the materials God supplies to? Back to where you started building. Is that on the foundation of Jesus Christ? And so what you start trying to build on is your bogus foundational, bogus starting point of the building. You start laying in God's good things mixed in with the things that are not of God, and then all of it goes kaput. Here's the biggest problem. Who were those materials intended for? You or another? But you went and used them for yourself because you thought that what you started building was indeed the church. Do you see? You weren't wrong when you said deception. I did hear you. I just want to let you know. But it's not, the deception is not in the, what you think you're building or what you believed you were building. It's actually in the belief that you can do it absent of faith. That you have the goods, that you had everything already. You got it. But then when faith comes, you take the things God supplied and you apply them to the wrong thing. And then it goes to put. Oh no. What happens to your faith? You start to doubt. You start to second guess. You start to reconsider. You stop building. The works of faith are evident by what is actually built. This is why I can actually say with confidence what I say. Because I look at the church and I look at its existence and I look at its effect and I look at its impact and I look at what it's supposed to do and I look at what it's doing and I go, guess what? One of these things is not like the other. I know what God's intentions are. I know who God has said the church is. I know the foundation. I know what it's supposed to look like. And it doesn't look right. So therefore, I can then, without any problems, make a clear justification that what is being built is not indeed the church. Because what is built by faith edifies the body. This builds up the church for the mighty works of God. And the evidence of the works that the church produces is life abundant. And I don't see it. Do you, church? Do you see the mighty works of God happening? Do you see the church doing the mighty works of God as they were called to do? I don't. I see them bits and pieces here and there, sporadically. Faith is the supply and the works build up what faith supplies. We have it backwards. We think that works build faith. Faith builds works. And this is all upon that foundation, which is Christ, which goes back to what is being built. If the materials are not fitting the foundation, they never get used to build what is intended. And I finish this sermon tonight. Today, not tonight. Feels like tonight because I'm ready. First Peter 2 verses 4 through 10. And I want you to hear what the Lord's saying here at this last part. It all comes together with this. Coming to him as a living stone. That's who? That's us. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. And precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is the destiny of the church. This is what you are to do and be in Christ, the foundation, as a living stone, building and being built up by other stones. This only happens, though, if we are making the correct exchange, which is not by what you can produce and do of your own volition, your own skill, your own ability, what you have left over, what you can find on the street, what you think is good, what you think is wholesome, what you think is what is necessary, what you think is needed. It's not about you. It's about what is supplied by God via what? Faith. And so this leads us to the next chapter. Where is your faith? This is what I was bringing out from the very beginning. Does a building exist if it's not built? No. It doesn't exist if it's not built. But. And then no, I love this one. She's special, everybody. Just want you guys to know. She also has a little bit of a thing called, you know, inside baseball. The building has a destiny on it. I just read it to you in 1 Peter. God has already authored the destiny and has already provided the foundation for the building. It is already established. The church is already established. It is only evident by faith. It does exist, but it's not visible to the rest of the world. And the reality is that we need to exemplify with faith the works that are necessary for the church to be evident. And we are not going to do it if it's absent of faith. So the real question is, where is your faith? Is your faith for you, or is your faith for the church? It's not about your faith in God. It is not about your faith in Christ. It is not, and I want you guys to understand, because here's the big thing. Everybody has faith in Christ. You know how much you need, you know how much faith you need to have faith in Jesus Christ? None. Because it's a free gift. It exists, he's there, he gives to you what you need. There is nothing you need, there's no faith required. But there is a modicum of faith for you to continue in Christ. However, to have faith in God who supplies all your needs, that requires faith of a mustard seed. That's a lot, that's big. Huge amount of faith, right? There's a very tiny amount of faith. That's all that's required, church. To believe that God is the supplier. Think about that scripture. How much faith, that bit, that little tiny seed amount of faith did what? Could move a mountain into the sea. How much faith do you think is required to believe that the supplying needs that you have to build up other people in Christ, in your church, so that they can go and accomplish the good and perfect will of God that is not for you, but for them. So that in all things we edify one another to accomplish the will together. This is not a solo act. Amen? And that's the issue, that there's too many soloists trying to rise up and be the church hero. There's only one chief. And this is the key. The faith we need to have is in that. We need to have faith in that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Amen? And that what is supplied is not for me, it is for the church. Amen? Do we get it now? I know it's a little, it seemed a little all over the place. Do you agree? Seemed a little chaotic, but no? No, I get the support of my wife. Yay, I win. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your hearts and your people, God, that, Lord, you are victorious over this. You have this in your hands. You are a wonderful, caring and giving God who has supplied all of our needs. But it isn't for selfish gain, Lord. It is for us to edify one another, to build up your church in its purpose so that, Lord, you can be glorified. You can be lifted on high by the praises of your people, God, so that everything that is done in accordance to your will, God, grows your church, multiplies it, God, so that all can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May we honor you today with faith to believe that what you want to do and how you want to supply those materials, God, it is going to go and build your church. We thank you for your will and your hand in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have need of prayer,